This week's parsha is Parshas Vayeshev. And Rashi, in the beginning of the parsha, explains Vayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Mekuri, Ava, Beretz Canaan, what the connection is between this and the end of the previous parsha. And one explanation of his is that the end of the previous parsha lists the Alufim of Esav and the Toldos of Esav. The beginning of this week's parsha gives us the secret of how Bnei Yisrael can be Mitgaber and Alufei Esav. Rashi gives the famous mashal of a blacksmith that sees camels loaded with pishtan, with flax, coming in, and says, "What can we do about all this flax?" And someone tells him, "All you have to have is one spark from your fire to go and burn it all." Same way, when Yaakov saw the tremendous houses coming out of Esav, he said, "How will we possibly be able to conquer it?" Because we know that B'sof HaYomim, Bnei Yisrael have to conquer Amalek, have to conquer Esav, and be the ones that are sholeit and bring Yiras Shamayim to the world. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. That Elul told us Yaakov Yosef, that Beis Yaakov Esh, Beis Yosef Lahava. The house of Yaakov is like a fire, the house of Yosef is like a flame coming from the fire that can destroy all of these Alufei Esav. This is referring not only to the times of Yaakov himself. There was no milchama between Yosef and Esav in the times of Yaakov, but Lasid Lavo as well, what will happen in the future. In fact, Rashi earlier in Parshas Vayetze mentioned that Yaakov Avinu only prepared to leave Lavan as soon as Yosef was born. Like the pasuk says, "Vayikasha yolda Rachel es Yosef, vayomer Yaakov alavan shalcheini." Rashi explains that he waited for Yosef because he was the sitno shel Esav, the one that had power against Esav, as it says, "Beis Yaakov Esh, Beis Yosef lahava, Beis Esav lakash." That's the Torah of last week's parasha. Rashi over there adds a few words and says that the difference between an Esh, which is the Beis Yaakov, and Lahava, a flame, which is Beis Yosef, is that a fire, Eino Sholit L'Meirachog, is not able to burn things that are far away. A flame, which comes out of the fire, can reach past the fire, even to a distant object to burn it. And that is the Beis Yosef, which is Sholit L'Meirachog, which is able to burn things that are distant. And that was why Yaakov Avinu was confident to leave when Yosef was born and to face Esav. The idea of Sholit L'Meirachok, of Beis Yosef being able to reach with their fire to distant areas, is probably merames to the distant future, where Yosef and Mashiach ben Yosef will come out of him, will be able to conquer Esav and Amalek. We know that's Melchama L'Hashem B'Amalek Midor Dar. The milchama against Esav and against the Kochos Hara that he represents is an ongoing milchama, an ongoing war, which continues until this day and will not be completed until Mashiach comes. The one that will lead us in war against Amalek and will vanquish the powers of Amalek and Esav will be Mashiach ben Yosef. And that's the one that is Sholit L'Meirachok. That's Yosef's ability to conquer Esav in the distant future. When Yaakov Avinu went to meet Esav on his return from Lavan, he wasn't just fighting a war against Esav and coming prepared to meet Esav's warriors at that particular moment, but rather it was representative of an ongoing war that will last until the end of the Doros. Yaakov wanted to be prepared to win that ongoing war at the end of the Doros with Yosef, and that's why he waited for Yosef to be born. And in the end, that's exactly what happened. He did win that ongoing war, which he was with Ramis to Esav in the Pasuk, as Rashi brings down when he tells Esav, "Ad avo al adoni Seira, you go ahead and wait until I'll come back to you to Seir." Rashi says what Yaakov told Esav when he told Esav to go ahead until I come to you in Seir was that there'll be a time of Va'olu Moshiim Bar Tzion Lishpores Har Esav. I'll come back to Seir when? At the end of the Doros. And that's because his repelling of Esav at the time was a simon for the fact that his children will eventually succeed in repelling him. Lasid Lavo. as in the story from last week. That's what Yosef is representing then. And in that case, we could see Yosef fit into this framework of Maisei Avos Simen Labanim, of what happens to the Avos as a sign for the future of the children. Yosef fits in as the sign of the Geula Hasida, of the Geula of Klal Yisrael, the complete redemption of Klal Yisrael, which will eventually be completed, Lasad Lavo. If we look closely, in fact, at the part that Yosef has, especially in this week's Parsha, we can see this more clearly. In the end of the Parsha, we see how Yosef interprets the dreams of Asara Mashkim and Sara Ofim. And according to the Gemara and the Medrash, these dreams weren't simply dreams that were revealing the future of the Sara Mashkim and the Sara Ofim, but rather they were dreams that were hinting to the future of Klal Yisrael, the Arba Golios, and the eventual redemption from them, when the dream of the Sara Mashkin included a gefen with three branches, a vine with three branches, which was blossoming and producing grapes. The Medrash says that this is Meramis to the gefen as Yerushalayim, and the three branches are the Beis HaMikdash, the Melech, and the Kohen Gadol. When it says Kiforachas, it's beginning to sprout. The Medrash says Hifricha Geulasan Shel Yisrael. The Geula, the redemption of Klal Yisrael, is sprouting. Sprouting is always a remez, a hint to Geula, to the redemption. And the cups of wine, the cup of wine on the hands of Paro is Meramez to Mashiach and to Mechemes Gogug Mogog, according to the Medrash. Even the dream of the Sara Ofim also is Meramez to the Arba Golios. It says that he had three baskets of Chori on his head, three woven baskets. And then it talks about the upper basket. The Medrash says this is the fourth basket. It's Meramez to the fourth Golios, the three Golios, and then eventually the fourth one, after which Klal Yisrael will come out of Golos in a permanent way. And this is because Yosef is the one that holds the key to the final redemption. In fact, when we look even more closely at the dreams that Yosef is involved with, we could perhaps see in them remozim to all the redemptions that Klal Yisrael experienced throughout the ages as parts of the final redemption. After Golos Bayis Rishon, when Bnei Yisrael went into Golos Bavel, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for the first time, Bnei Yisrael never fully returned to Eretz Yisrael the way that they were originally. Because I'll say the Shekhinah wasn't shelter in the second Beis HaMikdash as it was in the first one. All the Geulos that followed the first Chorban then were the beginning of the Geula Asida, at which point the Shekhinah will return to Klal Yisrael fully. The beginning of the Geula started already from the time that Bnei Yisrael came back from Golos Bavel. That already is when we had the first taste of Geula, which would be a taste of the Geula that we're still waiting for. The first big nes that occurred to Klal Yisrael that really sparked the return to Eretz Yisrael after Golos Bavel was the nes of Purim. And that nace has a lot of aspects that are alluded to in the dreams of the Sara Mashkim and the Sara Ofim. The dream of the Sara Mashkim, which involved the three-branched vine and the wine that was made from it and put on the hands of Paro, is clearly a remez to the Mishte Ayayin that brought about the turnover in the Purim story. In fact, there are three Mishtei Yayins. The first one, where Vashti was killed in order for Esther to become queen, and then the two that Esther made. And those three parties of wine, Mishtei Yayin, could be hinted at in these three branches on the vine over here. Of course, that's the reason that we celebrate Purim with drinking wine, because the whole nes was based on the wine. And furthermore, the 3 days that Yosef saw in the dream of the Sara Mashkim might be a hint at the 3 days that Bnei Yisrael were Bitzar until the Nes Purim occurred. Haman made his Gezerah, he made his evil decree on the 13th of Adar, and it took 3 days, the 14th, 15th, and 16th, until he was overpowered. The 3-day fast of Bnei Yisrael. The Rashi, in fact, even tells us in Maseches Megillah that Mordechai was a Sarah Mashkim himself at the meal that Achashverosh made in the beginning of the Megillah Esther. And the Sarah Mashkim, who was returned to his place through the dream of through the dream that he told Yosef, might be hinting at Mordechai's rise to power, return to power in the Purim story. The Sarah Ofim, on the other hand, whose dream was interpreted as a symbol of the Sarah Ofim being hung, was obviously a remnant to Haman's downfall. That's the Arur Haman that came out of the Purim story, where Haman was eventually hung on the eighth, in order for the birds to eat from his flesh. He was killed through hanging, just like the Sar HaOfim. And it could be that the reason that the Sar HaOfim had a dream which had baskets of delicacies, of loaves of bread, and loaves of bread and mazonos, salichori, it could be hinting at the fact that the defeat of the enemy is sometimes referred to as kilach menuheim. When the enemy is defeated, the pasuk says in Bamidbar, in Shlach, when it's discussing the besur of the Meraglim told Bnei Yisrael to be afraid of the goyim living in Eretz Yisrael. He said that they're so big, they're anshe midos, they're anokim. Kalev and Yeshua said, don't worry about them, lach menuheim. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's like bread. If you have a big loaf of bread, that means that you get more out of it when you conquer it. It's all for us. That's exactly what the story of Purim was all about, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is nice and Indian, LaRasha, Letzof, Lichnos, Losis, Letov, Lufnei Hashem. When the Rasha becomes extremely powerful, it ends up going into the hands of the Tzaddik, and the Tzaddik gains more out of the Rasha's very power, which is what happens to Beis Haman when it was given to Mordechai. That was the idea of the concept of lachmenuheim, of eating everything that the Russia had that he expected to use against Klal Yisrael, ended up going to Klal Yisrael. And that's maybe what's hinted at in the Salichori, and maybe the reason why it's a minig among many kilos in Klal Yisrael to bake special baked delicacies on Purim to remember the downfall of Haman. Even in the times of the Rishayim, they discussed things called uvlias, ovals, things like that, that were made out of dough to celebrate with on Purim. And Rashi refers to those very uvlias in the pasuk over here when he discusses what was on the head of the Sarah Ofim. That dream is a remez for the downfall of the Goyim and Haman on Purim. And this set of dreams, then, is a remez to the Purim story. But Hanukkah is not left out. I believe that we can find a remez to the Hanukkah story in the next dreams that Yosef interprets. In the beginning of Miketz, the dreams of Paro were of cows. There were seven. First, the dream was with seven strong cows that came out of the Ya'ar and were eaten by seven very weak cows, which is an obvious hint to Rabban Biad Ma'atim, Rishon Biad Sadikim, the Egle Marbek. These fat cows were eaten by the skinny cows, the thin cows that weren't full of aveiros and that were weaker. The number seven is obviously paralleling the seven branches of the menorah. And what's interesting is that in the next dream, which discusses the seven shibolim, the seven ears of tefillah that grew out from one branch, from one stem, and were eaten by seven thin clusters that were growing from the same branch. It says over there in the pasuk, "Bukana echad," and the Baal Turim brings down a Masoris that the only times it says "Bukana echad" in the Torah over there and by the menorah when it discusses the branches of the menorah. And if so, we have a remozim to the nes of Hanukkah, which would happen through the menorah. And in fact, the Ya'or that the cows came out of, the Ramban says, comes from the word or, or light. And if so, the dreams are saying that here these seven heavy cows and the seven shibolim that were very, very, very healthy looking remez, are hinting to the fact that the Yevonim considered themselves to be the ones that had the Chachma, the seven Chachmos that were above all other Chachmos. They considered themselves to be the ones that had the light, like it says in the Pasuk, Chachmas Adam Toir Panov. The wisdom is what brings about the light. And instead, they were conquered by Bnei Yisrael, and this showed that Bnei Yisrael were the ones that really had the Chachma. They were swallowed by Bnei Yisrael until there was nothing left from their Chachma, meaning their Chachma is meaningless. The Chachma that's a true Chachma is the Chachma Satoira. And that was how they came out of the Ya'ar. They had the seven Kana, the Kana Echa. They're trying to make themselves into the ones that are bringing light. But in the end, Klal Yisrael was shown to be the ones that brought Chachma and brought light. And in fact, in the dreams of Paro, the conclusion was that Paro came and admitted, Ein Chacham V'Novam Kamocha. If you've interpreted these dreams, there's no Chacham V'Novam like you, the representative of Klal Yisrael. That's what comes out of the dreams of Paro. And if so, then it could very well be that these dreams are meramis to the Geula of Hanukkah, where Bnei Yisrael were proven to be the true Chachamim, the ones that had the Chachma that's meaningful and everlasting. The Geula Asida, which is yet to come, will eventually have its own Chag when it comes. And that too certainly must be hinted at in the dreams of Yosef. And the place to look for them is probably in the dreams in the beginning of this week's parasha, which Yosef himself dreamed. The true dreams of first the bundles, the bushels of wheat that his brothers made that bowed down to him, and then the stars and sun and moon that bowed down to him, maybe hinting at the Bnei Yisrael's eventual rise at in the Geula Asida at the end of the days. The 11 stars are hinting at the fact that Bnei Yisrael will rise to spiritual heights like the stars and will be way above all other nations and return to the closest to Hashem like they originally had. And the bushels that bowed down to Yosef may be referring to the kniyah, the humbling of the nations of the world to Mashiach ben Yosef, who will be Moloch Timloch Aleinu Moshel Timshel Banu, like it says in the Pasuk, Ki Lashem Amlucho Moshel Bagoyim, that Lassad Lavo, Bnei Yisrael will rule over all of the world because the whole world will come to respect Klal Yisrael for what they are. And the bushels may be hinting at the fact that Mashiach ben Yosef will be teaching not only the Jews, or maybe not even the Jews at all, according to the Medrash, but will be there to teach the Goyim the way to serve Hashem and the ways of Hashem, like it says in the Pasuk, Elav Goyim Yidroshim. And Chazal say that means that the Mashiach is going to be teaching the Goyim, and that's the Lo Rov Lelechem V'Latzam L'Mayim Kim L'Yira. The whole world will come starving for a bushel, starving for food, and Mashiach will supply it to them. Yiratzen that we'll be Zeicha to see this Geula Shleima, B'Karav V'Yameinu.